off on my favorite part of the show. What's that say? Talk to the audience? Oh, God, this is always death.
Hello there, folks. Well, here we are, about to put another year behind us. Harvest festivals have come to a close. The leaves have turned color and fallen from the trees. There is a bite to the air, and all the little woodland creatures have settled in for their long hibernation. Old Man Winter has returned to paint the landscape in shades of white and gray. There in the meadow beside the wood lies a cabin. Wood smoke rises thick from the chimney, and a warm light spills out from the windows. Let's see who's home. Why, it's Al and Matt. I can see them there beside the fire. Are they roasting chestnuts? Perhaps mulling a cider? Or preparing a savory stew made from small hibernating woodland creatures? No, it's that time of year when they like to get in touch with their friends all around the world and put to rest questions that have been on their minds throughout the year. Let's listen in, shall we?
All right, well, actually, our very first guest kicking this thing off, I thought we should get off on the right foot here, on the right foot.
Yeah.
We have a long-time admirer of Matt, Mr. Malvern Schmlau.
Hello.
Good to have him back. We haven't heard from you for a while.
It's good to have him back.
Well, listen, I've always enjoyed his antics.
Of course you have.
You, not quite so much. No,
I have been busy writing my autobiography.
Oh, dear. Have you picked out a title yet?
Tears of a Clown.
Now, do you dictate that to someone, or is there,
No, I have a massive, massive keyboard.
So effectively,
walk along it.
Your stupid hands serve as like stupid fingers, and you can just strike the keys that way. Is that how that works?
That's exactly how it works.
Very well. We haven't specifically heard you making advances at Matt, and that's, it's good for Matt, but bad for the show, because look.
I don't know. I'm a little hurt.
I like keeping him. Really, are you?
No.
Oh, okay. Have you turned your attentions elsewhere? Or are you just?
No. I've been concentrating on the book and the 14 chapters about Matt. And then after I finish them, I'll head straight back to the show.
Excellent. Looking forward to that. Well, we were talking, Matt and I were writing these questions, and we were talking about, we kind of wanted to ask you something, creepy enough to meet your standards. And I thought something, boxers or briefs, something like that. I thought, that's not far enough. What we really want to know, and I don't really mean what we really want to know, but we really want to ask you.
You really want to know.
Are you, Malvern Schmlau, circumcised?
Sir. Well, sir. see these clothes I have on? I can't actually take them off, so I don't even know if I'm circumcised.
Now that is a tragedy. That is a real tragedy.
It is a real tragedy. Why do you think I'm trying to get off with Matt? I want to find out.
Now you couldn't maybe get a stray thread from maybe where the top of your maybe start pulling until it unraveled a bit. I was going to say pants. But I suppose trousers, right? Is it trousers?
Every day I'm trying to get stray thread, and it's just not coming. Oh. It's just that's another 16 chapters in my book.
Here's the question. If you unravel the right part, could you in fact make yourself circumcised?
Yeah, if you unravel too much, then maybe.
this is the problem, you see. I want to find out, but I don't want to find out too much that it.
Very well.
I go very short, if you know what I mean.
Come up on the short end of the stick.
Exactly.
Now I've said this on our show several times before. I'm not a big reader in terms of actually books, like actual printed books. I prefer audiobooks. When you finish your manuscript, your memoirs, are you going to do an audiobook version of it?
Yes, it would be completely unabridged.
Excellent.
And I will describe each of the pictures inside.
Oh, they're pictures. Are they all of Matt, or are there maybe other obsessions over the years that you've had before Matt that
Well, hopefully I can get the unraveling going, and then I can describe those pictures as well.
Well, we definitely look forward to that.
In excruciating detail.
Well, that is unabridged. I would expect no less from you, sir. Anything else you want to mention or plug or anything before we go on our way?
No, I don't. I can't think of anything. I better get back to writing my book anyway.
Very well. Thank you for being on our show, I think.
No problem. Thank you very much.
All right. Malvern's smiling, everyone.
And now to check in with Adrian Bochnivsky on the status of an ongoing investigation.
This is more of a Matt question, but I'll frame it here. I'll set it up. So Matt has his detective agency, as you know. and he's made some headway into the case of the pilfered PlayStation. But I think he's reached a point in his investigation where he has a few questions to ask you. So, Matt, take it away.
Really, just one question.
All right.
Yes.
Now, your story says that the PS3 was lifted on the night of the 23rd, but that don't jive with the fingerprints I found in your caddy's bumper. There's a trail of leaking PlayStation coolant leading from your cab to the Weatherby place out behind the abandoned cat house. We all know that old man Weatherby and the Duchess have been playing blind squirrel under the bedclothes since the end of the war. Now, the Duchess used to be in deep with Johnny Chinaman and the Reds, but when the money ran out, so did she. So who's to say that she hasn't jumped back on when she smelled blood in the water? You knew she was buying what you had to sell, so you faked a routine robbery so that it would look like you were the Vic on this one. Then you sold the pilfered PlayStation 3 back to the Duchess at twice the price so she could sell the parts to the Reds. But you needed a patsy, and I looked pretty good, didn't I? That's why you tried to pin the whole thing on me. And you would have gotten away with it, would have gotten off scot-free if I hadn't found the Baron's old will in your old newspaper pile. What do you think of that?
Yeah, Adrian, what do you think of that?
All right, let's start at the beginning. First off, the Baron's will, just, it got itself there, you know, it got put by the hot plate with the frayed wires, and, you know, so it was just there on its own. As far as any sort of dame is concerned, she's not bad. She's just drawn that way. And
hang on. Objection. I think you are well on the record as being a fan of Cool World.
No. Oh, that's right. Damn it. I am a fan of Cool World.
Caught
not,
again.
So, not Roger Rabbit. You can't be a fan of Cool World and Roger Rabbit. They're mutually exclusive. I've caught you in a lie.
Your story's got more holes than a piece of Swiss cheese.
Oh, no.
And not that crappy kind of Swiss cheese that doesn't have holes either.
Oh, the good Swiss cheese.
Yeah, the kind with the holes.
Well, you know, Gabriel Byrne is in Cool World, so.
You got me there. He is in Cool
that
World.
Is okay, at least you're starting with facts now. That's a step up.
Using that, I think you may have, you got to keep digging deeper, kid. You've just begun. This is, you know, there's going to be sexy parties with people wearing wigs like that one scene in JFK that always makes me laugh every time I see it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That scene where Joe Pesci tweaks Kevin Bacon's nipple and he's painted in gold.
Yeah, and he's wearing, like, fancy wigs.
No, and one of the – I think the guy painted in gold, which I think is Kevin Bacon.
Is
wearing a Golden Age Flash-ish pie pan on his head, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he is. And it's so great, and Tommy Lee Jones is wearing, like, powder wig as well and white makeup, and it's like a two-second cutaway, and it's so brilliant, and it makes me laugh every time, and every time I think of Kevin Bacon, I think of that.
Yep. Matt, we are not making this. There is no exaggeration here whatsoever. That is the scene.
It sounds like the greatest movie ever.
It truly is. Also, it has my favorite line. You got the right ta-ta, but the wrong ho-ho.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Matt, that's what you have, the right ta-ta but the wrong ho-ho.
This is not the first time I've been told that.
You got to look at the Baron's heiress. Find out who she is. The Baroness.
All right.
Oh, the Baroness? Yes, find her. She may be with a guy named Destro.
My dear Adrian, I think we've caught you in another lie.
Did someone tell me again?
No, George Takei, damn it.
Very good.
Now you let him get off the hook. We rambled our way off, so...
Well, I guess I'm still on the hook. Maybe... I mean, I didn't realize PlayStations had coolant.
Oh, yeah. How they keep them cool, obviously. Yeah,
and if you have a coolant leak, you have to eject the warp core. That I do know.
Oh, no. Otherwise, you can have to go into the Jeffries tubes.
You'll enjoy this, then. What I did for work today was watch Star Trek DS9. Nice. That's about
it. I do like that.
And the other day at work, I a bit of a slow day, and I watched the Voyager episode with Captain Sulu, as it turns out.
Wow, that's sad.
Not very good.
It sounds like you're doing good work, though, Matt. I appreciate you looking into my case. I do appreciate also, do you have a hat on? Is it like more of a
of course I do.
Like 30s guy hat or more of like a Sherlock Holmes hat?
I have both. I'm friends with Amanda.
Oh, that's good.
I think, without spoiling too much, because Matt hasn't seen it yet, but I think it's like that the recent Venture Brothers episode where Hank puts on the fedora.
Sounds exactly what it was, but I didn't know if he had seen it or not, so I didn't want to mention it.
No,
he hasn't. It's, and again, not spoiling anything, but they do a bit of a Hank-centric like noir episode, and every time he puts on his fedora, everything turns black and white, and like you hear the sexy sack.
It was one of my favorite episodes of this latest season.
Yeah, that's great. Good.
Fucking fantastic. But and a lot more cool stuff happens, but we won't. They don't get that in Canada for a ridiculous amount of time, which is just a fucking crime.
We haven't even gotten to the first part of season four yet.
So you'll get an entire season four then, and unlike America?
No, you'd think so, but the way we play our TV down here, we'd get two episodes of season four, and then a year later we'd get two more.
Well, you have room for Brent Butt's Corner Gas on the Canadian schedule.
We have room for so many TV shows about Brent Butt.
He is very popular, and I don't understand it.
I don't get it. Everyone wants to know what he's doing at that gas station.
I'm lost here. Is it Brent
Spiner? There's this show called Corner Gas. No. There's this guy. His name is Brent Butt.
He's a huge Canadian.
And, yeah, he is huge in Canada. He had a show called Corner Gas that I can only describe as like Scrubs in the middle of nowhere with Canadian people.
But is it funny? Because the early part of Scrubs was funny.
I mean, some people like it. Like, if you go to Amazon, most of the reviews are like, this is the funniest show ever made.
Yeah, but
like, it's got a really heavy it's got a really heavy cult following here in the States, but in Canada, it was huge.
A lot of people in Saskatchewan who are just like, man, that's just like my house.
Oh, so it's one of those.
Yeah.
It's kind of like people who love Roseanne because they're big, fat, poor people.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's like The Office if it was set in rural Saskatchewan.
And, you know, to be fair, though, John Goodman is pretty amazing.
Oh, no, he is. And I've heard that show was actually good. I just, that was the first example that came to mind.
Well, no, probably not.
Well, I mean, for what it was, I don't know.
Listen, that show was fine until it went crazy.
You mean in its final season where it was all made up?
Yeah.
And not only all made up, but also like a horrible, depressing, like the reason she made it all up is because everyone died and she's sad and she's about to put a shotgun in her mouth.
Yep. No, we won the lottery, and what's her face married a king, and all.
And
well,
that's why my stuff is stolen.
Ah, well.
Yep. Well, it's back to that.
It all ties back together.
PlayStation 3 was stolen by Roseanne,
and that's why you never leave your PlayStation near Roseanne.
Oh, there was an episode. I don't know if you're watching Community at all.
Not yet. It's one of those things I'd like to catch up on.
Well, it has become quickly my favorite comedy on TV next to Venture Brothers. It is very funny. The latest episode, there were about like 9 Walter J. Weatherman moments, but on top of each other on purpose. Oh. And it's really amazing.
Very cool. I made a new pass through that show recently. So it's all the references are fresh in my head again. So everyone's getting really
Arrested Development.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, really? You did that again?
Yeah, very, very quickly, actually.
He's ruined the act, Joe.
Yeah, I try to only do about once a year, and it was actually like a year and a half this time, and I blew right through it.
Which is the longest you can physically go without watching it.
No, the
body started to break down.
I was surrounded by people, mostly you, Matt, constantly quoting from it, and I started getting that itch. It's like... It's like that episode of The Simpsons where everything is like, you know, homie, what do you want for dinner?
Yeah, clown. You can't eat that.
Yeah, like everything around me was starting to remind me of it, and I had to give in. So
that's not bad. That's not a bad urge to get into. I want you to scratch that.
True, but I'm trying to watch new things. I'm trying to get into stuff that maybe
new things. That's God. Dull.
Yeah, I know.
Ridiculous.
I must have seen. The thing is, when I think about Arrested Development, I think of only like season one because I must have watched that. Like a ton. Well, I recorded every episode, and then I had like, then I got the DVD and I watched a shot of it, and now it's like season two. I don't even remember half of season two, but like season one,
season two is the one I watch the most because as a continuous whole.
It's better. Don't get me wrong.
And I just watched that from minute one. They're setting things up that don't pay off for 10 weeks, and it is just nuts.
Right. Or like, you know, when it seems like Michael Moore shows up in the first episode and the next episode, he's like, it's the man in the brown coat. And he's like, it wasn't even him. It was just some
Michael Moore impersonator.
Yeah.
It was a bit for Jimmy Kimmel Live. I don't know who that is, and I'm not going to respond to it.
That's right. That's right. You're too much. This is too hard now. You remember everything now.
But it's because it's fresh in my head. That's why I have to do it, because I have an old man memory and I don't remember anything.
You're like the Ashwin of Arrested Development now. Look at this.
Correct.
Wow. I'm just trying to have fun.
No, you can't have fun. It is verboten. All right.
The fun police. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Unfortunately, we gotta wrap this up. We got a lot of people to ask questions to.
More important people than me. Okay, no, seriously.
Hey, you came, well, not first, but close to first.
Yeah.
You said came first.
All right, Adrian, we got to have you on again, though, because this is always a delight.
This is a delight. I really appreciate the call, and you guys had an awesome season two. So
keep
up the good work, and keep fucking that chicken.
The next stop on their journey of discovery brings Al and Matt to the lair of Pat Loika, voice actor extraordinaire.
Pat Loika, you are a man of a thousand voices, a modern-day Mel Blanc. In the past, you've hit us with Batman, Jack Nicholson, Jerry Seinfeld, and Michael Caine. What else do you have in your seemingly endless repertoire?
See, if I was to tell you that, then you'll be expecting me to use this other special voice.
Okay, and, so there is definitely one you have in mind. Is that what you're telling us here?
There are a few that I have in mind, but I do not want to, you know, I don't want to show all my cards just yet.
Oh, come on. What a chip. Nothing? You got nothing you can share with us, really?
Name something. And I will give you something.
You're taking requests.
Ooh. Oh.
Yes.
What do you think, Matt? Let me confer with my co-host here.
See, you kind of got me by surprise here. I wasn't expecting this. See, I was expecting you guys to nail me with some other kind of question, and then here you go with this thing.
Well, that's
how we get you.
We're kind of... We're kind of feeding on current events here, because I got to be honest, we got that email from quote unquote Jack Nicholson, and I didn't know who it was. You really got me. Well, but then the second one came, and I knew. Okay, and then that helped me figure out the first one. I was like, aw.
Well, those weren't me.
I'm pretty sure they were.
No. See, if it was me, I would confess to it already. Right now, I would confess to it, because. I'm not shy to take credit for any of my own work.
Well, this is true, but well, now I'm even more confused.
Yeah, this is.
I've heard these people; they sound nothing like me. Because my impressions of Jack Nicholson I forgot the other person.
Seinfeld
will be terrible. Well, a lot more terrible than that.
Everybody does a Nicholson. I mean, that there's our request. Do a Nicholson.
Oh, God, I can't do Nicholson.
You got it. Come on.
How about Christian Slater?
that's exactly the same thing.
How about ask me for a cartoon character? I can probably get a good one.
All right. What do you think, Matt? Let me converse with my
what do we got here?
What do you think, like a classic cartoon character?
I think that's probably for best.
How about like an Elmer Fudd? Can you hit us with a good Elmer Fudd?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I can't do Elmer Fudd.
All right. Well, I mean, if
you... Here. Let me give you something you know, Al.
All right.
You insufferable humans.
is that Mr. Sloan?
No, you idiot. This is Starscream of the Decepticon Army.
There you go. I just needed a couple more lines. That's actually better than the guy in War for Cybertron, which I quite liked, but... not very Chris Latta-ish, that guy.
Did not do the research.
It's really hard to nail that voice down. It takes quite a bit of work. You have to really work up your vocal cords to get into it.
Yeah, I was always under the impression that right before he went on mic to do Starscream or Cobra Commander, he got someone to kick him in the nuts.
No, he spent all the time yelling at his actual underlings.
I can see someone like that getting himself kicked in the balls, but that is not something I need to do to get myself into it.
What do you see, my dear Pat Loika?
Destro! You idiot!
Now, Matt, be the Baroness. Okay, that went to a weird place. Never mind.
Any room for George Takei?
Oh, my.
I was hoping to join Cobra. Look, I brought my own helmet and everything.
Get him out of here, my dear Cobra Commander.
Yes! Yes, get out of here, George. We don't want to deal with you. I don't want to hear about you and Shatner.
I know where I'm not what.
Nice. Sad Charlie Brown music as he walks out. Nice. Well, Pat, because this is the first chance we've had a chance to talk to you for a while, you got any quick plugs, anything you want to tell the people about? Any?
You've
been real busy, so.
Yeah, there's a couple of things. There is my book, The Villain. It's available now through, actually, aside from getting it, you know, original trade paperback hard copies, you can actually purchase it digitally now. If you go to Graphically, and that's spelled GRAPHICLY.com, you could look up the individual chapters, and you could purchase them for $1.99 each, cheaper than buying the trade.
Very nice.
And I also have a podcast called Loikomania.
All right. Very nice. Now, do you bust out any of the voices there? Is that why you're saving the material?
No, I usually bust out voices when I'm talking to someone. It's usually just me talking to people. You know, it's me giving out the message, spreading the word.
Ah, very well. Oh, I do have one request. I just realized. Let's hear the Emperor from Return of the Jedi.
Okay. You have to excuse me. It's. I'm afraid the deflector shields will be quite operational when your friends arrive.
Very nice. All right,
no,
Pat. Always a pleasure.
No.
No, you will die. Unlimited power.
All right, Pat, always a pleasure. We definitely got to have you back on again soon.
Yeah, we'll talk about other stuff.
All right, take care, man.
Thank you.
Al and Matt have some curious ideas about salt and want to know what Simon thinks about them. Let's see what he has to say.
Simon, is it Jew Mafia Simon? Simon Jew Mafia? I messed this up the other day and I apologize.
Currently it is Jew Mafia Simon.
Very well. And you are still in the Jew Mafia, right? That's still happening? How's that going for you?
That's for life. Once you're in the Jew Mafia, you never leave.
They don't have a Jew Mafia witness protection program?
If there was, I couldn't talk about it.
That was what I was led to believe by the end of Jew Goodfellas.
Nice. This year we've come up with questions specifically tailored for each person, and we have one here just for you. Simon, we need to know, is it a good idea to put salt in your eyes?
Well, from personal experience, I got to say no, it's not good to put salt in your eyes under any circumstances, but especially if it involves a bet with tequila.
So you should never put salt in your eyes?
Never put salt in your
eyes. Under any circumstance.
Very well. All right, Simon, well, we definitely appreciate your time, and good talking to you as always, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon.
Can't wait to hear the cast when it comes out.
All right, awesome. Take care, man.
Now to visit with Daniel, who claims to live in that far-off imaginary land called Australia, where even the small woodland creatures can kill a man with but a single deadly lance.
Course, truth, that's fantastic, mate. Oh. Thank you very much for that.
Oh, come on, that's not how you were talking in the pre-show. Come on, do it right.
It's everything I dreamed of.
I'm sorry, I just couldn't keep that up, but I'm just doing that for the people out there.
Of course. We do have a certain expectation. No, I mean, we've talked to Ashwin from India. We've had calls from a dude in Africa, but I'm pretty sure you were geographically the furthest away. And it's tomorrow there, and it's summer there, and it's really fucking with my head.
Yes, I'm apparently, as everyone keeps on asking me on Twitter, what my predictions for the future are. So I believe that I'm becoming the resident psychic also of the Twitter circle.
Yeah, but see, that works both ways. You have a door into the past. If something goes horribly wrong, if you have a terrible day, like as we record this, you're just starting your day. If your Sunday is just utter crap, you can warn us and Sunday will be okay.
Beware, Sunday is coming.
Right. You have almost a full 24-hour lead on what's going to happen. So you can fix it.
Oh, great. So I've got this whole kind of quantum leap thing going for me.
The next great ruler will stride the earth like a colossus. Look to the night sky.
And he shall be named Hister. Damn it, I was so close. In the fourth quatrain. All right, Dan, we have a question for you. This is the thing we are doing this year, specifically written just for you.
Excellent.
Matt and I put our heads together and said, I don't know, ask him this.
after much deliberating.
Actually, for you, it was fairly easy. And we tried not to hit the real Australian stereotypes. We tried not to ask you about dingoes eating your baby and so forth. But we couldn't entirely avoid that. So apologies in advance.
Oh, that's okay. I've been bracing myself for the last 4 weeks. I knew this was coming.
Very well. Given that everything in Australia is trying to kill you, how close have you personally come to death? And how often do you get that close? And then there's a follow-up, but go ahead with this first.
Well, thankfully, I have one of the rarest gifts amongst my friends, and that is common sense. And so when I actually see a dangerous creature or any creature, to you know, put it bluntly, I actually make sure that there is someone between me and it. That is why when I've gone bushwalking, I've made sure that someone takes the stick to knock the snakes out of the way. When I am at a tourist attraction where there are like animals in cages, I still make sure that I'm standing behind the tourists. I also laugh at them as they're cuddling koalas because it's like, you have no idea, but if they weren't declawed, they would be shredding you this instant. But go ahead, cuddle the cute thing.
I was just going to ask because, I mean, I only recently discovered that platypi are venomous, which I didn't know. And yeah, so I would assume also koalas and all the things that we think are adorable can hurt you in some way.
Well, koalas can...
What's that?
Koalas can gut you like a fish.
Nice.
Platypus have poisonous quills on their webs. Kangaroos actually have such powerful legs that they can also gut you like a fish.
Now, do they actually do that thing like in Looney Tunes where they lean back and they kick you really hard?
Yes. Men have died from that.
Wow. Now, let me ask you this. Call me out if I'm being an ugly American, an ignorant foreigner. I honestly don't know. Do people box kangaroos or have they in the past?
I have never seen this or heard of it, but
we live in an enlightened age and people don't do that to animals now, but I'm saying historically, has it been done? Do you know?
Yes.
I mean, unfortunately, ever been mistaken for a giant mouse.
That does happen a lot. I'm led to believe that's a weekly occurrence.
Yes, many an exterminator has died because they mistaken a kangaroo for a mouse.
Nice. So it sounds like you have this quality that you say not a lot of people have. So really, as Darwin sort of used Australia as the basis of his evolutionary, you know, his natural selection theory, you seem to be sort of an idealized, like, you are like the evolutionary peak as far as humans go. You have survival instincts that have been honed to a perfect point.
I think it might be more a nerd thing that I've just watched enough television to know better. I mean, probably the closest I have come to being struck down was I accidentally stood on a snake once. But this was in my garden, so I would like to stress, yes, that was completely not my fault. It shouldn't be in my garden. But I promptly then got someone to take care of the snake while I was inside. So there you go.
Watching television.
Watching television, yeah.
Excellent. I don't know if you're aware of the Riff Tracks. Mystery Science Theater guys do a thing called Riff Tracks, which is just, you know, mocking old funny things. They did one of their more recent ones was a short, a safety in the Australian Outback short, actually. It was called something like Don't Be a Bloody Idiot. I'm not making this up, and we'll put a link in the show notes. It's 99 cents on Riff Tracks. It's highly recommended. It's funny enough on its own, but with their jokes, it's even better. But it's just this guy telling you all the things you shouldn't do if you're going walking in the bush. And
he starts with, don't go walking in the bush.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn it, Matt, you stole my joke.
Oh, he'll do that. Those Canadians.
Yeah. It is more like step one. Why are you doing this? Step two. Why are you still doing this? And step three. We told you not to do this.
That was basically it. Yes. And a quick follow-up to the question that I had. Can you finally, on the record, confirm or deny the existence of drop bears?
Well, back to that whole, you know how the tourists are cuddling the koalas?
Mm-hmm.
Those are drop bears.
When they realize the claws are there, they throw them aside and they fall out of the tree. And that's
good luck throwing aside a koala with those claws.
Oh, this is true.
Well, this is documented fact. Documented. So, you know, I learned it off the internet, so it can't possibly be wrong. People in Australia, it's rare, but have walked under a tree. A koala has dropped out of it.
On purpose, or just coincidentally?
Normally during mating season. The koala is actually the equivalent of a Vulcan during Pon Farr.
Now you're talking our language, Dan.
And, yeah, it becomes vicious and aggressive, and if it doesn't get what it wants, it will hurt people to get it, that are in its way.
So leaping on a human shoulder and using whatever hole is available, a nostril, an ear hole, that's good enough for them?
Actually, now that brings a completely different image that I was going for. But
well, I'm just picturing, you know, they're after sex, obviously, and are they mistaking a human, or are they just angry they're not getting laid?
Well, I think they're just angry, and so they've gone to the primitive violence. But now there's just something about, you know, police officers standing over a corpse going, oh, poor Timmy. Not only was he killed by a koala, but he was fucked to death by a koala. Oh, well. Don't tell his parents.
In his ear.
In his ear.
Found his death by misadventure.
That's a callback. All right, Dan. Well, unfortunately, we got to move things along. We got a lot more people to get to, but we definitely appreciate your time. We got to have you on again, man. You're a real delight.
Oh, no, that anytime, just maybe at 8 a.m. instead of 7 a.m.
Very well. All right, thanks. Great talking to you.
See ya.
Back in the U.S., the guys visit with the pure and innocent Shauna Zielko.
The question we have for you is specifically completely the opposite of what we had you on before. You expressed some regret that you had to hold in your natural tendency to swear and that, so...
And we're nothing if not giving.
Yes, we're never not if nothing if not giving. So we wanted to hit you with an opportunity to counter the image, maybe that you're a little wholesome. and we're going to hit you with this is similar to what you would hear on the Inside the Actor's Studio, but we spruced it up a bit. We want to know what your three favorite swears are.
My three favorite swears.
No, there's more to this. Bonus points for compound swears, you know, when you combine a few into one single thing, and stuff we haven't heard before. Explain why each of them is your favorite and the best context to use them in.
My favorite swear is actually bugger. I have been using that for years. I used to get made fun of by all the teachers in high school because they informed me that they knew what it meant, even though nobody else did. But they were like, Shauna, you do realize that we know what you mean. Even because I said it all the time.
Well, see, that's one of the advantages of being kind of an Anglophile is you know these things that are common, normal things in the English language that people around you might not even know, and it's almost like a secret code that only certain other people know, which is awesome.
My grandma had been saying "bugger" in front of me since I was two.
Yeah, but your dad's English, right?
I mean, exactly.
You missed out on that. Like, it's not a secret code to you. It's part of, you know.
I didn't know what it meant.
Well, just for the record, what does it mean?
What does it mean? It's a sodomy.
Ah, very nice.
Fornication between two males.
Bugger. Back. I better stop saying that on this show then.
Yeah. We're in a lot of trouble.
Who started that rumor? Blimey. All right, what else you got?
And then I actually do have my other two favorite swears is they're both compound.
Excellent.
One of them I made up with a group of friends in high school. So it's kind of like we used it as our all else fails swear word.
Mm-hmm.
And it is screw it, bugger it, and eat them. Your mom eats them. Run away, run away. It happens for a goldfish.
Wow.
Yeah, that we're going to have you break that one down a bit. What's the etymology of that?
What it was there is a group of us that we decided that the only thing that we could do is put together all of our catchphrase swear words together.
Ah, I see.
And so...
So swearing by committee, really.
Yes, really. So there was screw it, mm-hmm. which was one guy. Mm-hmm. Bugger it, that was me. Mm-hmm. And eat them was another person. Your Mom Eats Them was another person who did the Your Mom thing.
Sure.
Runaway, Runaway. I think that was left over from some Monty Python thing.
Sure.
It Happens. Another person. And then Furry Goldfish was some other person that jumped in at the end.
Yeah, that's where you kind of lost me there, was Furry Goldfish. Yeah. Like, is it?
The Furry Goldfish kind of was added on at the end, and it just worked so well that we decided to keep it. And my job was to be the keeper of the catchphrase, so.
Very nice.
That's why I have it memorized.
Excellent.
Your friends in high school sound a lot like my friends in high school.
Yes. And of course, the last most wonderful swear word that I threw out on our pre-show for the Muppets.
Okay, now let's not sully the Muppets with your filth. Now let's be clear that these are separate
nothing
things.
Nothing to do with the Muppets. I just had to get it out of my system then. And that is a. Just a second, the girls are running by. I'm going to get
a frequent sarcastic voyage guest, Scott Siocco's children are running around behind her here, and I wanted to make it very clear they can't hear you, right?
No, they cannot hear me. I am closed up in a room.
Okay.
And they're just running down the hall, but I wanted to make sure. Okay, now my last favorite swear word is one that my friend in college made up, which is cum guzzling ass nostril.
Nice.
And it's one of those, you know, it's the extreme word. It's so wonderfully filthy.
Well, I used to love when I lived on the East Coast, I would go up to New York City about once a year, and I loved driving there, and people thought I was insane. But it's because reacting to New York traffic and really getting into the spirit of it, that's when your most profound, groundbreaking swearing happens. That's where I'm pretty sure that's where like asshat was invented, which is a fairly recent thing. Because some asshat cut somebody off in traffic, and you asshat, you know, and that's and now we're all saying it. So.
Yeah.
So thanks, asshat, wherever you are.
Thanks, asshat. Fast. All right, Shana. Well, always a pleasure, and we could give you the opportunity to let people know that you're a complicated person and not just a wholesome person.
And that I notoriously swear like a sailor. Yes,
as well you should. Mm-hmm. That's a good any good American, any good North American should.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for your service to the night, to the language.
We salute you, Shana Zioko.
Buggery. Right.
We will talk to you again soon.
These guys are well known for their exceptional taste in music and often judge others on theirs. Here they ask Scott White what he thinks of one of their favorite performers.
The name now escapes me. I suck at this. Scott, tell the fine people what you do.
My show is called Instant Leftovers Podcast, the last honest podcast, the voices of a generation.
It is a delight.
That is quite a long title there. Do you really call it that every time?
Yes, and it's one of those that my co-host Ramon, every few weeks, he's like, let's make the name longer.
Oh, I see. You're one of those.
Astonished Podcast 2, The Quickening.
Yes.
Money Never Sleeps is always a good one for a sequel. I enjoy that. So, Scott, we've been coming up with questions specifically tailored for each person.
Okay.
And you are no exception. But this one for you is a little different. So bear with us here. Scott,
you like Huey Lewis in the news?
They're okay.
Their early work was a little too new wave for my taste. But when sports came out in 83, I think they really came into their own, commercially and artistically.
Do I like Huey Lewis? I like the one song they did in Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah, we all like that song.
Actually, they did two songs in Back to the Future. They did The Power of Love and they did Back in Time.
That's right.
There we go. Well, I like both.
Very well. Now, really, we're supposed to murder you after that is the thing.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Paul. Ah! Yeah, you're not getting it, are you? That's all right.
No.
It's not important. Dumped. No, it's
damn. None of this is important.
It is important, Matt.
Oh. Yes.
Well, do you want to murder him? You want me to? I mean, is it my turn?
You're about due. I'll stash the body later.
No, but you're in Canada, where it might be easier.
Where it's legal.
And, yeah, exactly.
Let's postpone the killing till I get to Emerald City. How about that?
Yeah,
that seems fair.
Okay, just don't forget to remind us, because we'll forget. But
yeah, we're not good at that kind of thing.
Yeah, please remind us to murder you, because it's very important.
Yes, I'm writing it down right now.
Write it in your copybook.
Write that down.
All right, Scott. Well, we'll let you get on your way in your mobile studio there. We know you're a very busy man, so...
All right, guys. We do appreciate I'll talk time. To you guys later. All right,
take care.
Nothing sets these two friends to fighting faster than the debate over who has the better candy, the United States or Canada. They've decided to ask Sabrina to settle the issue once and for all.
Hello.
Sabrina, welcome back. Hey. All right, let's jump into this. So you've been in America for a while now. You married an American. In fact, as we record this today, you just got that final holy grail of documentation, that piece of paper that says you can live here, you can work here, you can you have your own keys and credit cards, you can do whatever you want now.
You're a person now.
Hooray!
You have straddled the line of two cultures. You've grown up in Canada, you've lived in America, so you were quite qualified. You were really knowledgeable about both cultures, and you can tell us who has the better candy.
Oh.
This may be the most difficult question you've ever been asked.
Matt wrote this question, and he specifically wrote it. He said, I want you to build up. I want you to make it sound important. And I don't think I did that, but.
Oh, no, it's important.
That is important.
Very well.
You can't get arrow bars down there.
No, and you can't get Smarties here either.
Oh, no.
Well, see, for the listeners at home, for those of us who are in America and other places, what exactly are these things?
Okay. Arrow bar.
Oh, go ahead.
Now, your arrow bar is a plain candy bar, but it has air bubbles in it.
It's just like a plain chocolate bar, but it's full of delicious, airy goodness.
Which I guess means you get less candy.
Yeah, isn't that like when Strong Bad pointed out that when you carve a logo into something, there's actually less chocolate there? Is that the same principle where you're getting...
That never occurred to me before.
Me neither.
It's still good, though.
Now, what does that do? Does it make it crunchy?
No, it makes it...
Full of holes.
It makes it broken.
It makes it aerodynamic. I'm really trying to picture like what the point of that is. Is it a gimmick? Does it make it like... Does it give it a different texture?
I don't know. I mean, it's good. Well, but...
It's like there's these commercials with like these two women in the office, and one of them she goes to the vending machine and she comes back with an arrow bar. And she breaks off a piece and she puts it on her coworker's tongue or whatever. And it's like, you're not supposed to bite it. You just let it melt.
And then they make out.
As the chocolate melts, then you get all the little... It's kind of... I don't want to say it's like Pop Rocks, but...
But it's the same kind of icy, where it makes it kind of an experience. Or
get kind of the bubbly bit.
I see.
See, but that never occurred to me until I saw that commercial. And it's like, oh, I did it wrong all these years.
Not necessarily. I mean, there were those commercials for like Oreos, where they told people you're supposed to, you know, twist them and open them up. And I never realized that. I thought you were just supposed to eat them. I mean, that's,
you know, like weird. A cookie.
Yeah, exactly. And then of course you mentioned Smarties, which here are little tart candies, but in Canada they're what exactly?
Called, in Canada they're called Rockets.
Which are?
Smarties in America are Rockets in Canada.
Oh.
And Smarties in Canada are like M&Ms, but better.
Now, what's better about them? Because, I mean, I've never actually had one, but I know of them. And they seem just like M&Ms to me.
Well, they're a little bigger. They come in a buttload more different colors, which is awesome if you're OCD like me and separating them into color files.
We actually recently established that at least I am as well. Matt, I can't remember if you were too. I wasn't paying attention.
No, I'm normal.
Ah, very well. Well, I can sympathize with the separating the colors. Do they taste different, or is it like M&Ms where people think they do but they don't?
No, they do. To me, they taste different anyway. It tastes more like a milk chocolate. As to me, M&Ms have a little bit of like the chocolate's a tiny bit on the bitter side.
Okay.
To me, I don't know. I've been eating them for God knows how long, so.
I think you get more in a box, too.
I think you do.
And it could be better chocolate, because I've heard this complaint from a lot of people from outside the U.S. that our chocolate is just absolute crap, that we don't know from chocolate at all.
Yeah. Well, plus most of the chocolate and stuff that we get in, or that's in Canada, is like Cadbury chocolate from the UK, which is really good.
Ah, very nice. So now turning it around, what are things you can get here that you can't get in Canada?
Well, if you're my husband, the Mountain Dew with caffeine in it.
Well, I mean specifically candy. I mean.
Specifically candy? Yeah. Oh, geez.
I fell absolutely in love with the chocolate Twix they got down there.
Chocolate? It's
a chocolate cookie inside of it instead of just a regular cookie.
Yeah, instead of like the regular cookie.
Oh.
Shit, those are good.
All right.
And we just got pretzel M&Ms.
I haven't had those. Yeah. Are those any good? Or are they
pretty good.
They sound strange, but...
I don't like them. I was never on the bandwagon with those chocolate-covered pretzels that came out as like a snack food.
Oh, see, those I like. And
crossbreeding of species. You can't do that.
Ben and Jerry's did a flavor called, I think it was Chubby Hubby, where they had peanut butter-filled pretzels in chocolate ice cream, and I actually quite like that.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. No, it was quite good. No, I like that. I like the crossbreeding. I like the conflict between salty and sweet. That's nice. So it's sounding like you're not really not a lot of examples are leaping to your head of awesome things that are here that aren't there. Are you ready to proclaim Canada as the superior candy nation? Or
I think I might be saying that. Yeah.
Wow.
Fuck yeah.
Well, you heard it here, folks. Wonka, you really need to bring it, because Canadian counterpart's been...
Well, unless he's in England, which is possible.
Yeah, that's true. They were kind of English in that, but then Wonka himself wasn't, so who knows?
That's true.
May he rest in peace. All right, Sabrina, well, as always, a pleasure. We appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
You're welcome. All
right. See ya.
Al and Matt are both men of strongly held opinions, but they are willing to listen to other points of view. Let's listen in as Thom explains why they're wrong about the greatest Star Trek series of all time.
I'll answer to Thom. I've answered to worse. I have a guy I work with calls me Thor for all I know. I don't know why, but he does.
That's just awful.
Well, that's the hammer, really. I mean, you can't blame him for that. If you're going to carry Mjolnir, is that how you say that, Matt?
Mjolnir.
Ah, then you got to expect the name to go with it. That's just how it goes.
I don't know why I didn't think of that.
Gotta leave the hammer at home, of course.
Never even occurred to me. I am the god of thunder, but never put that together before. Okay, so we have a...
The helmet's okay, though, right?
Yeah, that's fine. And the long, flowing blonde beard, no problem. All right, Thom, we have a question here for you that we have devised specifically for you.
Okay.
We've talked to you on Twitter and so forth. You've written into the show quite a bit. You've expressed that we perhaps have slandered the good name of the last Star Trek show to air, Enterprise. That maybe we've been a little unfair to it.
And slander might be a strong word, but unfair I will give you.
Okay, so right now we will give you this opportunity. We will give you 60 seconds. Matt, set the clock that you have there.
Yeah, the clock is set.
We will give you 60 uninterrupted seconds to tell us why we're wrong about Enterprise.
Okay.
So
starting now.
Okay. Actually, I've been thinking about this. A lot of reason people slammed on Enterprise is the higher tech factor that Enterprise shows as opposed to what the original series has. But if you think that it stems from a change of the timeline from First Contact on, Enterprise leads into New Star Trek, which is why New Star Trek looks like an Apple store instead of the 60s. They've got a good captain. Despite people disliking Scott Bakula, I'm a big Bakula fan. I think Count I do Bakula. Like his captain. Yes. I do like his captain. He fits for what you'd have for early Starfleet. Enterprise gave us the Andorians, a better understanding of the Andorians, which I really like. Jeffrey Combs has Shran is one of my favorite Star Trek characters of all time. Dr. Phlox is another great character. Doesn't introduce there as the Nobulan doctor.
All right, that's all you get.
Okay. That's fine.
That is all the positive talk about Enterprise we will ever have on any of our shows ever. So I hope you feel like you've stated your case. Until we get to it on the Post-Atomic Horror in 2018 or whatever the hell it's going to be.
At which point we'll have to force ourselves to like it.
Well, I'll be with you guys all the way, and I'll help you whenever I can when that time comes.
Well, really, I think what we're going to need is a shot of, I don't know, adrenaline or cocaine or something to keep us, you know, going, really. More than your enthusiasm, we need some physical...
Hard drugs.
Yeah, hard drugs, exactly. Well, Tom, we do appreciate your time. We appreciate you being on here. And
not a problem. I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
Our journey takes us next to England, where we stop for a spot of tea and to talk to Nick, who Al and Matt absolutely did not base a character on.
Do you want us to say your last name? I can never remember if you want to go with T or if you want to...
Is it T just is good?
Nick, okay, Mr. T. Nick T. All right. The question we have for you, this might be a little awkward. You are, I assume, aware that we've been doing a long-running feature on this show featuring the fictitious character called Nick.
What? I think
this sort of started out kind of maybe half based on you, but it's completely not now.
Yes.
Our question to you is are we cool? Are you going to sue us?
Please?
No, we don't want him to sue us, Matt.
No.
Depends on what you can make out of it. If you get big, then I'll sue you.
Oh,
right now.
Shit.
No, see, this is why we're asking you this now, because if we get a recording of you saying no, you know, you're fine, then we can admit that in court later. No. He said we were cool. Everything's fine. You're not going to say that now, are you?
At the moment, 10% of nothing is nothing.
Yeah. At the moment, it costs money to make, so you're going to have to throw some in.
Yeah.
If I say yes, is it going to become Neil and Willikins or something?
Believe me, I thought about that. When we really started doing this, I'm like, okay, I want to be sure Nick knows we're not making fun of him. We should change the name, but we had too much of it done already. Like, we better just keep it.
You'll go back to all the old podcasts and dub in the word by name with a totally different voice.
That'll be completely inconspicuous, right? And now the adventures of Neil and Willikins. Well, see, the nice thing is I haven't heard your voice in a while, and listening to it again, that is nothing like the accent that we try to do. So
yeah.
That makes me better. That makes me feel a little better.
Because I wasn't insulted.
The accent that we give fake Nick is...
horrible.
Well, yeah, it's terrible, I know, but it's sort of like in the Python's Life of Brian at the end, where they're up on they're singing Always Look on the Bright Side of Life, and
yeah, Eric, it's Eric Idle, right?
Yeah, and he's got this ridiculous "some things in life are bad." Like that's sort of the target that I go for, and that's nothing like you. So
it's better to not aim for it than try and aim and do it horribly.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yes. No, I'm going for a real English person doing a fake English accent. That way I'm at least two steps removed from anything real. But I think in fairness, maybe you could have your own podcast and do like The Adventures of Matt and Al or something.
So you can sue me. Counter-sue me.
Oh,
no. No, I just like hearing English people do bad American accents. I think that's just as funny as us doing bad English accents.
That is true, actually.
There was a video recently of the cast of Harry Potter doing American accents, and that was just utterly hilarious.
I'm feeling
Grandma. Sure, I'm a fan of Xander's here.
but really, Nick, we just we wanted to get this out in the open. We wanted officially for you. If you, I was pretty sure you knew, but I wanted you to know.
You sent me the first episode, if you remember.
I vaguely remember.
Oh, yeah.
But this thing has sort of gone off in a weird direction, and
it'd be really odd if this was the first time I'd heard of this, and it was like, I wondered why you sent me that video.
Oh shit, I'm in a lot of trouble.
I honestly don't remember doing that. I'm glad that was good thinking, Al of the past.
Yeah, it's about time you did something we approve of.
Yeah, God. No, I really you know.
Only all of your legal problems could be solved so quickly.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, Nick. Well, we appreciate your time, and we appreciate your and your patience for our tomfoolery.
It's fine.
And we'll talk to you again soon.
The Cola Wars have raged for decades, sowing devastation across the land. Jesse's dulcet tones are our last best hope for peace.
You've only been on the show like once, haven't you?
No, I think that I've been on twice because I did the Valum times and then,
your esteemed co-host, correct?
My highly esteemed co-host.
Yes, I was
concerned. Not very much. What the hell?
One of you had volunteered the two of you to come on here, and I thought about it and I thought, no, you know, people need to know that you guys are separable. Like, you make a great team, but you really just shouldn't make all the appearances together. People will talk. People will begin to say things.
Yeah, we broke up all the teams for this one, except, of course, us.
Well, yeah, we are inseparable, you and I.
I think that secretly you're the same person.
I think that would be very unpleasant.
That would be horrible for everyone.
Especially me. All right. No, but it occurred to me, like, you're one of our favorite people to talk to, and you've been on this show not very much. How is that even possible?
I'm a favorite.
Well, you know, I didn't want things to get all mushy or anything. I was just trying to, you know, set you up to answer the question. I mean,
oh, you're just buttering me up. You're trying to get a performance out of me is what you're doing, you son of a bitch.
Look, everyone gets a question. There's nothing special about you, okay?
Fine.
All right. Sure. We Matt and I put our heads together and we came up with a question for each person. And we specifically devised this question just for you. So,
awesome.
Jesse, gotta ask you, Coke or Pepsi? But you have to sing your answer. Not just one word. We want to hear at least four lines, at least two rhyming lines. So,
okay.
That's it.
I think I could do that for you.
Coke or Pepsi?
You know, because the fact is that my feelings on this matter can best be expressed in the medium of song, so...
Well, and you, as everyone knows, I am a huge fan of the musical, so...
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're always saying about how much you enjoy them.
So, well-known fact.
So, like your favorite show, Glee, let's have a song.
Okay. As a rule, I prefer an icy cold Pepsi, but Coke will do in a pinch. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter as long as there is brandy in it. Brandy makes everything better, good for all that ails you. Brandy makes everything better, king of all the booze. That is my answer.
Matt, join me in applause, won't you please? That was
Jesse, I love you.
Yeah.
I love you too. Thank you.
We're getting mushy again. that was a delight, and you even managed to divert from the point to wander off in song. That's what I really appreciate about that. Not only did you answer it, but you answered it and then sort of trailed off on a different topic, which is
The grand scheme of life, when you ask me Coke or Pepsi, my answer is going to be brandy.
Now, if they started serving brandy at the well-known coffee establishment where you spend your days.
They would have no brandy because I would drink it all.
Before we started recording, you chased your dogs out of your home studio there, your recording booth. Are your dogs St. Bernards? Do they have the little barrel around their neck?
No, I wish they did. I should get little barrels for them. But no, they're both Heinz 57. No St. Bernard in them at all. My boss has a St. Bernard, however. And she actually dressed him up like that, like a rescue dog for Halloween. He had the little barrel and the little like Red Cross thing on his back. And
then he mauled three kids.
Because he's Cujo.
Whoops.
Very nice. All right, Jesse. Well, as always, it's a delight having you on. Let's throw a plug out there for your podcast. While we've got you here.
That would be the Girls with Glasses Talk Tolkien. You can find us at thegirlswithglasses.blogspot.com.
Blagspot.
Shut up. God.
All right, Jesse. Great.
Glad you
on.
Did it before I did.
We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay.
See ya.
Well, friends, Al and Matt have satisfied their curiosity for the evening and are eager to dig into that stew. We'll leave them for now, but don't worry, we'll visit them again soon. They are an inquisitive pair and are sure to have more questions they need answered. So for now, farewell.